Hi, Reed. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Dad?
Yeah, about the same level. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Huh. It's so I was setting everything up and then I saw the dates and it's been, so it's now November. We are recording this on November 10th, 2024. And our last recording was the end of August. So there's another month called September and then another month called October. And now
that's longer than I thought it was.
Right. It's kind of gone by fast.
Yeah.
Which is
neat. It happens.
Yeah, I guess it's not like an interesting thing. It's just what happened. Yeah, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 31.
Wow.
Yeah, and you, I guess, okay, so I'm realizing this as it's coming out of my mouth. Our last podcast was in person.
Yes.
We were face to face. Now.
Yes, we are not face to face.
Right. I mean, I can see you on the screen.
But we are in different states.
Yeah, different time zones. The sun is in a different position in the sky.
Yeah. Meaning that you are drinking a different beverage than I am.
Right. Right. Which is fitting for you to bring up because we decided the episode, this would be a review episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't decide, or maybe we just thought of three different things to review. Mm-hmm. And so we came up with the three C's, coffee, cribbage, and career.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know.
Which is funny because you are not drinking coffee. Well, we were initially going to record earlier and then tech stuff and all that jazz.
Yeah. Well, and also I had a lot of coffee really early.
Mm-hmm.
Your cat woke us up.
Oh.
Early.
Why? Why did he do that?
I have various things I could say about it, but I'll choose not to be polite.
Oh. He's perfect.
Yeah. He's sleeping right here. All curled up. Both cats are right here.
Good boy, Gazzy.
Yep. But at any rate, yeah, it's like 2:30 in the afternoon for me, and it's 1:30 in the afternoon for you.
Yeah.
But besides the time difference, I think I get up earlier than you.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all to say that we're doing a review of various things that have caught our fancy over the last couple of months. And and for no particular reason other than it seemed interesting to us.
Yeah.
So
which is like most of this podcast.
I guess so, yeah. I suppose other people listen, but it's not really necessary. No, I appreciate that other people listen.
Yeah.
But I'm not selling out to the listeners, to the corporate.
We don't have a sponsor section or anything. Like, you listen to This American Life, which we are not at all like. And they talk about, like, they have breaks for Audible and Squarespace and all those things.
Yeah.
But we don't. And we're on a different level.
That's the difference between us and This American Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although we have met Ira Glass.
Right, yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah, and he met you and said you were self-possessed, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonder if he'd remember you.
Probably not.
Probably meets, yeah. Obviously, he meets lots of people.
He meets a lot. And that was also like 10 years ago or something.
Right.
At this point.
He might be a listener.
Maybe. Yeah. Our listeners probably. We should have him on the podcast and then we can go on This American Life.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Okay. I'll invite him.
I feel like he puts a little bit more thought into his podcast than we do.
He's got a whole production team.
Yeah, and I think he has maybe a script or an outline or something that he goes into it with.
I don't know. I mean, sure, he has questions, but I think most of what makes that seem so polished is the fact that they curate and edit a whole bunch.
Yeah, we don't edit.
No. We're the opposite of editing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still waiting for the day where we say, oh my gosh, we have to cut that part out. And it hasn't happened yet in 30 episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we should have cut stuff out.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, we've been recording for like 5 minutes now, and we haven't even started really the podcast. Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told people at work that I had a podcast, and they were like, oh, what's your podcast about? I was like, well, it's not really a podcast. It's more of just an excuse for my dad and I to talk, because otherwise we don't really talk. Well, no, we talk, but
yeah,
it's like a structure.
I get it. I understand what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah. Because I think the other last time I called you was because there was something with my car or something like that. So.
Oh, the tire.
Yeah, the tire, or there was a time when the gas pump, I was pumping my gas, and the gas didn't, there's like an automatic thing that turns off your gas before it, like when it's full, and that thing didn't work.
Yeah, that so wasn't the car, that was on the gas station side of things.
Yeah, but now ever since then I've been a little bit nervous pumping my gas. I haven't gone to that exact pump yet again because I don't trust that one.
Yeah, for good reason.
I've been to that same gas station, but I use a different pump because there's something wrong with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I had forgotten about that. Yeah, the last few times I talked to you about
how I called you.
Yeah, I've been
because there's car, been car disasters. The car, yeah.
Yeah, what do I do about this? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. So this is a good way to connect, and we get to document it.
Mm-hmm. To prove to the world that we do talk to each other.
Yeah, not that they need proof, but yeah.
But kind of to prove to mom that we talk to each other. She's like, because every other time I'm like, oh yeah, I talked to dad in the car, and she'll go, oh, you did? Oh, what'd you talk about? I'm like, I don't know. We just talked.
Stuff. Tires.
Stuff. Tire. Yeah.
How are your new tires?
Good. They're not pop. They didn't pop. So that's good.
Yeah. Did you notice a difference between new tires and old tires?
Not really.
Oh,
but it also hasn't rained yet since I got them, so that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I hydroplane on the highway next time it does. I don't really hydroplane on the highway that much.
Yeah, I suspect. I mean, you had pretty good tires before, but
I had good tires. Yeah, there's just some spots on the highway. Or not even on the highway, but on like on the on-ramps to the highway that are designed in such a way that they just become big puddles when it rains, which is a horrible design for Oregon.
Yeah.
So those spots just become big puddles. And so that'll be fun to try with new tires.
Yeah.
See
if they're as advertised.
Yeah, I think they're probably similar quality to my old tires. They're just newer. New.
Yeah. I always think that it's like the one thing I do to a car, like you get an oil change or a new timing belt or something stupid that's supposed to like make sure the car keeps running, and you don't notice any difference.
Mm-hmm.
But tires is the one thing I feel like, oh, now it feels like it drives differently.
Yeah. That was the thing when so for context to the listeners who are also here, apparently, I got a flat tire the other day and had to take it in, to get new tires because that's what happens.
Yeah.
When your tire gets flat.
I do have a quick interruption. Like, what? Yeah. That was such a severe flat that you had to replace the tire.
Yeah. So
do you know what you hit or what happened?
I don't know what I hit. I just know I was driving back home from work and I was coming off the highway and I saw there were two cars pulled over on the side of the road. So I went around them to give them shoulder space.
Uh-huh.
And it felt like I hit a pothole, like that kind of thunk.
Okay.
And then it was fine for a minute. And then I turned into my neighborhood and felt the steering. Like the steering was kind of weird. And then it got worse. And I was like, yep. I think I have a flat.
Yeah.
And so I pulled over and my tire was flat.
Like all the way so flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like a leak or anything. And yeah.
Okay.
And then I was so close to my house that I initially was like, okay, I can just pull it into the driveway and fix it in the driveway so I'm not in the road. But then I pulled around the corner and it had gotten worse at that point. So then I just pulled it over by a street light and fixed it there.
Yeah.
And changed my tire.
Which you'd never done before. Okay, so it's all coming into view for me. Like,
yeah.
They must have had some kind of incident and then there's something on the off ramp or on ramp.
Yeah, something on that street that I think like maybe they had also like, because they've also been doing construction on that road for a while. So I wonder if there was something left on the road. But then when I took it in, so I changed the tire. I changed it to my spare tire.
Which kudos, like you've never done that before and haven't had any lessons.
Well, in driver's ed, I watched a video.
Oh, perfect.
So,
yeah.
So I knew vaguely how to do it. And I like looked it up when I was there and like read through the little like WikiHow or whatever. And so I knew kind of how to do it. Like I knew to like loosen the bolts on the tire before you jack it so that it's not impossible. And then I jacked it up and like looked at the little car manual and like where the exact spot to put the jack was
good.
And then I did that. And then I, that took the longest.
And then looking everything up?
No, jacking it.
Oh yeah.
Well, probably that took the longest. The hardest part was that initial loosening of the, tire.
Lug nuts. Yeah.
The lug nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, that can be nearly impossible. Yeah.
Yeah, which is good because I don't want it to just fall off.
Good point.
But I knew to do that in like a star pattern from driver's ed and stuff like that so that it loosens better and then so you tighten it evenly something. I don't know why, but I know that's what you do.
Yeah.
And then I did that. And then the jack took a while. Because it takes a while to get the car up in the air.
Yeah, it's like thousands of pounds you're trying to lift.
Yeah, it took forever. Well, it didn't take me that long. I probably fixed it in like a half an hour.
Yeah.
Which was not bad. And then putting the tire on was not the hardest part.
Yeah.
Except I initially put it on backwards. Well, no, I didn't put it on backwards, but I tried to put it on backwards. And I was like, why is it not going through? And it's because the instruction parts are on the outside of the tire, where I assumed they'd be on the inside of the tire. Because like that's like with everything else, they're like the hidden parts.
In that case, it's good to be on the outside.
Yeah, but then I turned it around and it went on fine.
Wow.
And then I drove it home. And then...
Which was like a block.
Yeah, it was around the little cul-de-sac thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, yeah. And then I drove it to Les Schwab in the morning. And then...
Not a sponsor of our podcast.
What?
Not a sponsor.
No, they are not a sponsor.
Although I do like Les Schwab.
Yeah, they were nice. I had popcorn and stuff. But I took it in there and they told me that first it took them 2 hours to look at my car. Because there was a line or whatever. And then they said that the hole is on the side of the tire or something, so we can't patch it. I said, okay, can I get a new tire? If you can't patch it, I would like a new tire. And they said, yes, but since your car is all-wheel drive, we have to replace all of the tires.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
And they said, is a thing. Like, other people have verified. Like, it feels like a scam, but yeah.
Yeah, they explained it, and I didn't really understand their explanation, but it made sense at the time. They knew what they were talking. I don't know how to fix my car, so I trust that they will fix it. And then they looked at me and they said, "Would you like to put new tires on your car today?" I was like, "Well, yeah. I can't drive it if it doesn't have tires on it." I didn't say that, but
yep.
They had just explained that the tire that I had for my car was not going to work. And then they asked me if I would like to put tires on my car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could have driven the spare.
I guess I could have driven the spare, but.
But that's not, that's not at all good.
Yeah.
Not even started with the podcast of programming yet.
Yeah, I guess
this is bonus material.
This is a different sea of car.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Coffee, cribbage, career.
Yeah, I guess we could cut this. We could cut this part out or something.
No way. Okay. No way. This is bonus content. This is the stuff that they like pay. You know, Patreon or.
Oh yeah, this
buy
is...
me a coffee or the other.
Yeah, the
bonus things.
The membership thingies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is thank you members for your subscription.
Yeah. You can listen to a different podcast.
No, you've gotten to listen to this.
Yeah. For free.
Now on to our free for everyone else.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but long story short, my car is fixed.
Yeah.
And I changed a tire.
Yeah, I'm. You've done a lot of adulting lately, I thought.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of it.
Yeah, it's me too. Yeah.
It's been a lot of adulting very quickly, rapidly in a couple months.
Yeah. We could talk about, if they dig this up in the archives of, or the archaeological pits or whatever and say, oh, what was this podcast about? We should say like there was just a major election.
Yeah. We are Americans.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say it was a tough election for each of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's something I don't think it's a short enough thing that it would fit within the 1 hour analysis. Got any quick like political science? I suppose like when we talk about careers and work that this might come up, but
it's kind of relevant to what I do for work. Long story short, we lost the election as humanity.
Yeah, humanity lost. Yeah.
We're not a political podcast, but
it's a good,
I feel like in previous episodes we've talked vaguely about politics and I think it's pretty clear.
yeah, I suspect the listeners, the base here for Mouth Sounds would nod and say, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, but there's other stuff to talk about. Is I suppose our active, not defiance or protest, or active resilience is in recording the other things that we've got to talk about.
Yeah.
That we can keep going.
Yeah.
So this was pitched as, and again, I believe it's because we couldn't think of a single review that mm-hmm. we wanted to do.
Yeah.
There's multiple of them over the last few months. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we thought, well, we initially thought we've had ideas of talking about cribbage for a little bit, as well as talking about like work and that kind of stuff, yeah. Like a review of work. But we weren't sure if they would fit into like individual podcasts, like if we'd have enough to yep. talk about. So
I'm guessing now this is going to be like a 4-hour podcast.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, but the cribbage and the career are next on our list. But the first thing we were going to talk about is coffee or the beverage that you happen to have. What are you drinking there? I saw you with a cup.
Yeah, I have a cup of coffee. I initially went out to coffee this morning with some friends. So it is the dregs of some coffee from a coffee shop with some homemade coffee on top of it.
Nice.
That's what I'm drinking.
That's, speaking of adulting, that's like the that is the epitome of adulting.
Yeah.
I've got some reheated coffee on top of some other coffee.
Yeah. Nice. It's just yeah, because I had the cup and then finishing it, but it was cold and I knew we were going to talk about coffee here. So uh-huh. I poured some fresh coffee on top of it.
Nice. Well, I had coffee early in the morning. Our routine is one of us gets up, me or your mom, uh-huh. and makes coffee. And then, although this morning we were both up at the same time and busy in the kitchen, so we made coffee. Often I'll make coffee and I'll bring it upstairs.
That's nice.
To mom. Yeah, it's a life tip. So I had that coffee and then a second cup. And then we went on a walk and went to the coffee shop.
Nice.
And got a chai with a little extra coffee in it.
Mm-hmm. A dirty chai, which, one might call it.
A dirty chai, as they say. Yep. At the coffee shop that, at which you used to work. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful fall day mm-hmm. here, and we had a really nice walk. So I had plenty of coffee by that time. And so now I am drinking, it's not anything like coffee, but it's dark. It's from Bombastic Brewing. It's their attempted murder imperial stout, which is, I'll show you, like the listener can't see it,
I can
show it to you on the screen.
We got that at, do we get that at Bozeman or somewhere?
Anna introduced it to us at her bottle shop.
Okay. That's why I know it.
And so they have murder stout and then they have attempted murder stout, and the attempted murder, they don't have the murder stout here. It's clever because it's got a murder of crows on the
That's
on the
really cover, funny. So.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think you could quite appreciate it as a listener if you didn't see that.
Yeah. They can Google it.
Yeah. Bombastic Brewing. And it's a very thick drink and delightful, I think. I think I like the murder stout better than the attempted murder stout, But the attempted murder is a little sweeter. It's got some vanilla cinnamon sitting nice. There.
Yeah. If our listeners just Google murder stout, they will find it.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
And Bombastic Brewing is in goodness. I thought they were in Montana, but it's brewed and canned by Payette Brewing in Boise.
Mm. That's in a case you're fine place.
Yep.
Just fine.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's a very good beer.
Nice. I like stouts. Yeah.
I was in Ireland once and had a lot of Guinness.
I did too. I actually have some Guinness. I have some cans of Guinness on my little bar cart right now because it's good.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, Guinness is a surprisingly easy to drink beer.
Yeah. It's and also like if you're in Ireland, you could get water for like the same price, basically.
Yeah.
So just get a Guinness and then
might as well have Guinness. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like 4% alcohol or something, so it's basically fine.
It's like children, breakfast
babies
beer.
Can drink it.
Yep.
Not really. Yep. You just don't put give it in the babies Guinness.
You said it. Good luck getting into grad school now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so coffee and coffee adjacent beverages. Cribbage was our second C.
Yeah. Cribbage is a game.
And how, yeah. So if you're familiar with cribbage, you know exactly what we're about to talk about. If you're not familiar with cribbage, this you'll think, oh, a card game.
Kind of.
Oh, I've seen that with the pegs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's a weird game.
It is a weird game. I think that's why we're enamored by it. Mm-hmm. Tell the listener your, what's your association with or introduction to cribbage?
So I grew up watching you play cribbage, specifically with your dad or mm-hmm. with other like hiking buddies or
mm-hmm.
something like that. Like it was a game where you'd play probably while drinking beer or around a campfire. Mm-hmm. I think was where I most associated it with. And then I hadn't played it until I think it the first time I played it, we were looking. I was a senior in high school and we were at a lodge place looking at where I would eventually go to college.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like a scholarship opportunity
place. That February trip or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would just sit in these kind of, I don't even know a way to describe that place, but it's just like, I don't know.
It's like a corner room that.
Yeah, it's like
that,
a
that,
kind of speakeasy vibes, yeah. But also a library looking. I don't know. It's a weird place. And we were in there. And you taught me how to play cribbage.
Yep.
Which I think basically, like, you can't explain the rules of cribbage. You just start playing, basically saying, okay, you count to 31 and you want to make 15s. Mm-hmm. It's like the main, like, I think that's how you first described it. And then as you play, you mention random rules.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of just weird things.
Yeah. And if you're playing for the first time or even the second or third time and learning it, someone would say, Oh, and there's another rule.
Yeah, which
is... Oh, you turned up a jack. Oh, okay.
You get 2 points.
2 points, yeah.
Which, it feels like a bunch of rules that, the older sibling is just saying so that they win or something. I think that's how the game was invented.
Yeah.
Because there's just random rules. If the card that you turn up is a jack, then one person gets 2 points. Or if you have a jack in your hand that matches the suit, you get 1 point. If it's in your hand while you count the crib. Or the your hand.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really does feel like, oh, this is a rule that someone made up when they were losing and they needed one more point.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
But then all these other conventions of, we're going to count to 31 and 15 is special and...
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have these different phases of the game that are the pegging phase and then the counting your hands phase. And
yeah. Yes, basically. So, okay. To play cribbage, there's usually two people and everyone gets 6 cards. And then you put 2 cards in a crib, which is just another hand, basically. That you don't look at. And then...
An extra secret hand.
And a secret hand.
The dealer is going to get eventually.
Mm-hmm. And then you turn over a new card, which doesn't matter right away. And then you don't look at that for a while. And then you play cards back and forth, adding up to 31. But if you add to 15, you get 2 points. And then if you get pairs or a run, you get those number of points.
Uh-huh.
And then when that's done, you count your cards.
Yeah. And if you hit 31 exactly, you get 2 points.
You get 2 points. Yeah.
And if you're the last card and you don't get to 31, you get 1 point.
Uh-huh. And if the other person can't play because they'd go over 31, you get 1 point.
Yeah.
And then you start it back at 0 again and you add up and try to get to 31 again.
We're really selling the game of cribbage.
Well, it's a weird...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't describe it and say, oh, now I want to play it. You have to see it being played and then play it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you add up your hand, basically just also counting to 15 if possible, but also any other card game rules of flush or runs or pairs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get those points.
And then there's kind of special, that's exactly right. All those things are true. And that summarizes the entire game. But then there are these special codes.
Yeah.
Like you say, oh, I a double run for 8.
Double run for 8, 15-2.
Yeah. Which is all exactly embedded in what you described. Mm-hmm. But it's these special shorthand kinds of things.
Yeah. But then trying to explain it makes no sense.
Right. Good podcast material.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good because it's also a very visual game.
Yes.
Which is why it's great for a podcast.
Yep. Good judgment on that. We haven't had a podcast for 3 months. What should we do? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Distinctly visual game.
Yeah.
So maybe the interesting thing is it's an obscure kind of British pub game.
Yeah.
That you've seen and then got to learn how to play. And then we play it now at other times when we see each other, and it's kind of a, I don't know, it's not like the Johnston family tradition or anything like that, but it's like, it's a game that we play. And I played it with mom when we were last camping. And, so there's some history to it, but what is it that you, what do you appreciate or like about the game of cribbage?
I like, I like that it's not a game that I feel like I could get really good at. Like, I think it's the kind of game where I know the rules and I know how to play it. And I'm like, as I continue to play it, I get better at recognizing, like, oh, I want to keep, like, specific cards. Like, I like getting like a 4, 5, 6 in my hand.
Of course you would.
Because that's a run and it's also a 15.
Yep.
So that's 5 points right there.
Yep.
So that's a good one. Or something like I like that I know how to play the game better, but it's not a game that I could necessarily get better at playing. Because it's not like a strat. It's a lot of it's still a lot of luck.
Yep.
And kind of who you're playing with too.
Yep. I like those things that, and this sounds backwards, that I like the game because there's so much chance involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then your skill or wherewithal is only going to help you like plus or minus 10% or something.
Yeah.
Like it's mostly luck and you try to push the odds in your favor by making good decisions.
Yeah.
Which I think is so going back to your flat tire and adulting, like that's most of life.
Yeah.
Is you try to kind of push on things and hope for the best, but a lot of it's out of your control.
Yeah.
But I also like the fact that it's like you can play it camping or you can play it, you know, late in the evening or you can play it. It takes some focus.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be present in the game, but you can also have like this conversation.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which there's very little luck in chess.
Yeah. You have to be thinking.
If you're playing well.
Mm-hmm. And also that in cribbage, you can be doing really badly at the beginning, but then get like one good hand and then be caught up or something.
And that crib hand.
Yeah.
Which is so essential.
Yeah. It's just like you're basically just get another hand to play.
Yeah.
At the end. Or to count. You don't get to play it, but.
But it's like, and you swap back and forth who gets that crib.
Yeah.
And that can swing things wildly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then also there's the skunk line, which basically means that if you win and the other person is behind the skunk line, it just means that they really, really lost.
Yeah. I think if you're playing a tournament or keeping track, that counts as two losses or two wins.
Mm. Just means the other person was not good at that game.
Yeah.
Or just had really bad luck or something.
Yeah. It's a good or bad. I don't know, good or bad. But it's a point of saying, oh, here's how lopsided this game actually was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your initial memories of playing or watching or just of cribbage?
So I think I know my dad had a cribbage board and I may have seen him play once or twice, but I didn't learn to play until I was in college and my roommate and some friends knew how to play. And that was like a study break. Like we'd order pizza and play cribbage. And then I came home and then would play cribbage with my dad. And what was interesting is he learned to play cribbage in college. So it's like this, it's not like cribbage is life, although it is kind of.
Football is life.
Yeah, it's the Danny Rojas game. But then, you know, other people in my life, you know, camping buddies and such, like that's a camping backpacking kind of game.
Yeah.
Because you can play it. In a, I don't know, It takes a little bit of space, but not that much. For some reason, it works with backpacking.
Yeah. You can just put it on like a bear canister. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's your table and your chairs and a bear. Yeah. Maybe bears play cribbage.
Sure. I would think.
Probably. What else are they doing with their time?
Yeah. Yeah. Hibernating, eating salmon, and playing cribbage.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yep. But then, and then when... Okay. So Anna went backpacking and then played cribbage. I'm probably messing up the story, like the sequence, but then also went to college and then played cribbage with friends. And then when you went to college and then we learned to play cribbage. So it's like this kind of coming of age. It shouldn't, there's nothing special about it that says, oh, this is a coming of age game, but that's kind of the nature of it for me.
Yeah. I was looking it up and it said it's a 10 plus game. Like ages 10 and up. Mm. I feel like, I don't know, maybe there's some really smart 10-year-olds out there, but like attentive 10-year-olds, but I don't think I would have had the patience for it when I was 10.
This describes a lot of my life. It's not inherently interesting.
Yeah.
Unless you're really into it.
Yeah.
But I the other thing I really, really like about it is that you can play cribbage and do other things. Like it's a very conversational game.
Mm-hmm.
Like it can pause or you can kind of have to be focused on the other person who's there.
Yeah.
But and you connect with the other person who's there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can play the game and make that connection at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can be like having drinks or something, or there can be other people in the room. It's not like that's going to distract you that much or anything like that.
Yep. Yep.
Like we've played it, I think, like at holidays or Christmas, like when other people are in the house. I feel like in an environment where I probably wouldn't want to be playing chess, I can still be playing cribbage.
Yep.
And not that I'm good at chess or anything like that. It's just, yeah.
Or in lots of other games would be like that too. Like you can pull out cribbage and just say, oh, let's just play cribbage.
Yeah.
Like that's how I, when my dad would come visit, when my mom and dad would come visit, like that was a good way for me to sit down and talk with my dad.
Yeah.
Just to play cribbage.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you don't, I suppose like if you said, hey, let's sit down at the kitchen table and just sit there. Like that's nothing wrong with that, but that's hard as an entry point. But if you say, hey, you want to play cribbage, that's an easy entry point.
Yeah, probably maybe cribbage was invented for adult men to talk to each other.
I think you're onto something there. I or think maybe cribbage, it endures because of that.
Yeah, maybe cribbage was. It's like one of those games where it's maybe it's like podcast is now the version for us that cribbage is. It's like an excuse to talk to each other.
Yeah.
So cribbage is basically podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Not really interesting to watch, but kind of intriguing.
Other people can be involved.
Yeah.
But it's not really it's about kind of, them.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're an observer and you see both hands of the cribbage game.
It could be interesting.
It's really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a cribbage kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insightful.
Mm-hmm. I should change. We were before we started recording, we were talking about education and stuff like that. For me in the future. We were talking about research, but maybe I should just adjust to just researching cribbage and stuff. I could probably write a thesis on cribbage.
I'm sure
like if the cultural hasn't been done. And historical impacts of cribbage and what that explains about our society and specifically masculinity. I could do it. Oh, I could write that.
Oh
paper.
My God. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. They have cribbage tournaments. You could do a whole study on like the sociology of cribbage tournaments.
Yeah. Not to say that when I said like masculinity around cribbage, not to say that it is an inherently, it's not a game exclusively played by people who identify as men, but I feel like a lot of the people who I observe playing cribbage.
Yep.
Except for our family.
Yep.
Like mom and Anna play it too.
Yep. And her friends.
Yeah, and Anna and her friends.
Yep.
I'm going to write this paper.
Okay. There you go.
In all of my free time.
Who needs grad school when you can just write a obscure paper on cribbage?
Yeah. I could submit it to an article or like a journal or something.
Yeah.
I'll just email it to the New York Times and say, here you go.
I think it's an essay in the New York Times magazine.
Yeah. Or like the Atlantic or something.
Harper's or Atlantic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to co-author it?
Sure.
Okay.
That'd be cute.
Huh. Huh. Okay. So there's our little take that will convince no one to play cribbage. And that's fine.
Yeah.
The other thing I use it for is when I teach a methods course, a teaching methods course, I'll often use it as an example. Like, oh, if I tell you the rules, like that will make no sense. But if you watch it being played,
then
it starts to make sense in this incremental way. And that's a lot of what education is about.
Yeah. I think you wanted me, or you had offered to teach me how to play cribbage before I even, like years before I agreed to play cribbage with you. Because you said, hey, do you want to learn cribbage? And I said, well, how do you play? And you said, well, I'll just teach you while we play. And that didn't make sense to me at first. I was like, no, I don't want to, just tell me how to play it. And then I'll learn. But
now you get it.
Yeah.
It's like saying, hey, how do I grow up? And I'd be like, oh, you just have to try it. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of
zebras.
Speaking of transitions adult. To other things. So we had the three C's were the themes of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Coffee, cribbage, and career, which really was just an excuse to use that.
Yeah.
That's a C. Like we had been talking to each other about
jobs.
The work life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for work these days?
Oh, I am a...
That, was to that be a, clear, I know the answer to this, but I thought that's how you'd introduce it.
I am your worst nightmare for any homeowner in America. I am their...
Or renter.
Any person who lives in a house or any person who lives in a place with an exterior door to the world. I am those people's least favorite person because I am a canvasser for a human rights organization, for Amnesty International. Basically, I go and knock on people's doors and say, hey, guess what? The world has a lot of injustices, but guess what? You can pay money and fix that. And then people sometimes give me money. But oftentimes they don't, and that's okay. That is what I do for work.
Yeah, that's what's your ratio of doors knocked upon or people you talk to and donations or pledges given?
So the canvasser math that we kind of explain to people or to people who are new is if we knock on 80 doors in a day, 10 of those doors will talk to us, and one of those doors will become a member. So it's a 1 to 80 door ratio, basically.
It's a lot of doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just finding that right person at that right time, who A, wants to have that conversation, and B, is in the space to donate to us.
So what's your, I don't even know where to start. Like, I was going to say, like, what do you like about this, this job? Yeah. What do you like about this job?
I like that. Well, I like being able to walk around, a lot. I like walking, and my watch is very happy on days that I work. Because it's like, wow, you hit 15,000 steps in a day when you work. So it really likes that. And also I like talking to people who care and who want to make a difference. Because often it feels like we can't make a difference in a lot of society or in politics or anything like that. So I like that I can make an effort to change what I can, where I can with this job, and also empower other people to also feel like they're making a difference.
As in the people whose doors you've knocked upon, like they feel like they have a say, they have a leverage in what happens.
Yeah. Because like yes, they are giving donations, but that's mainly because we're a nonprofit, and so that allows us to budget and go further and talk to more people and like lobby on more people's behalf and that kind of stuff. But also by signing up with us, we can add their name to our collective and say, go to, lobby in front of politicians or in front of corporations or anything like that, and say, look at these tens of millions of names that we have of people who care about these issues, and kind of explain to them that these are the voters and the people who actually who live in this society and who care about this impact, because that is how we can get people to listen to average folks. Mm-hmm. So it's not about large amounts of money or anything like that. It's about the large group of people more so.
Right. So I've wondered about the math of your job, like what you get paid versus what, if it were just what you get paid versus what donations you get, I'm guessing that as an organization, they're kind of just breaking even.
Probably. I assume it's not doing
the donations aren't paying your salary.
Exactly. No. Signing people up at the door, we do have a minimum, just because they're not only supporting Amnesty, but also that form of grassroots organizing. Mm-hmm. So we do have those minimums so that people can, we can stay out there as long as possible. Yeah, but I assume it's not the nonprofit human rights organization sector is not the wealthiest place in the world, unfortunately. But
But yeah, they're paying you money, not just to like raise donations, but also to spread awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, because even if like, even if we like don't sign up all of the people who listen to us, those people are still aware of what we are working towards, and
mm-hmm.
that education also goes a long way. Yeah. Or I've talked to a lot of people who are super interested in what we're doing, and really care a lot, but everyone's situation is different and they want to, like they don't have expendable income in any way. So in those situations, like I'll direct people to the petitions on our website. Mm-hmm. And while that doesn't help with like our funding, or that kind of stuff, and like keeping their voices on as many things as like on all of our things, and helping like financially mm-hmm. aid the fight, they can still like add their names where they can.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of times people will say like, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't donate, but then they feel empowered by me telling them about the petitions and stuff like that. So that's good.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people care, but also a lot of things are hard.
Yeah.
And circumstances happen.
Right. It's like cribbage.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always cut a five.
Yeah. Yeah. The jack isn't always the lead card.
Yep. 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 Hmm. I'll be honest, like I didn't, it's not like I didn't, no, I thought that this would be a good job for you,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know if you would like it as much as you have, because it's a lot of knocking on strangers' doors.
Yeah. I mean, most of the people I talk to, I don't know, probably about half and half of the people I talk to, aren't the best people to talk to. We are in a group of people. Like we're never out there by ourselves. So it's always mm-hmm. like, and I really like my coworkers. And so, a lot of the time it's like, oh, okay, that person sucks. And maybe they're rude or something. So, mm-hmm. but we keep knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's cats that we can pet.
Yeah, you've got lots of good pictures of neighborhood cats that you get to.
Yeah. When it's nice out, there's cats just wandering around sometimes. And sometimes the cats want to be pet. So that's good.
Yeah.
But the cats don't sign up. But that's okay.
Yeah, that's the way cats are.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They don't have any money.
Right. I suppose they could care, but
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Anything you want to know about my job?
I feel like I kind of know about your job. Would you like to explain to the listeners about your job?
So I work in, I teach in physics and astronomy as well as in science teacher education.
Mm-hmm.
So my job should be like teaching those classes.
Yeah.
But also I write a lot of emails and sometimes figure out some accounting and sometimes other random stuff. We had our open house on Friday night.
Saw you post about, I knew that it was coming up. I didn't know exactly when it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I saw your editorial in the paper the other day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Was promoting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good. We had a lot of students come out. So it is an open house for physics and science in general, and lots mm-hmm. of people and students participate, and we get to like open up our labs and say, here's what we do, and look through this microscope, and here's this this cadaver thing of goo, or here's the cadaver lab was open, which is kind of incredible that mm-hmm. that you'd get a chance to see that in any context. And then my friend Colin and I, we got to do the Circus of Physics.
Fun.
And in the Circus of Physics, we lit a pickle up.
I like it that.
It glowed. Yeah.
I am sometimes reminded that the Circus of Physics is not a universal experience. in situations like when, I can't even remember when it was, but I was driving somewhere with a friend of mine, and something smelled like when you make a pickle glow. Uh-huh. And I said that it smelled like the glowing pickle, and they didn't understand what that meant. Because it's a very distinctive smell.
Yeah.
And also a very distinctive experience to stick some tongs in a pickle and then uh-huh. run electricity through it.
Uh-huh. I'm just quoting that right now. I'm writing this down. I'm sometimes reminded that the Circus of Physics is not a universal experience. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so there's stuff like that. And we did the bed of nails and the smashing of the cinder block
on Colin's
chest. And
good.
Sent... the song Dancing Queen by ABBA over a laser beam.
Oh, cool.
To a solar panel, to another amplifier.
Nice.
Yeah. Which was funny because lots of kids were like, oh yeah, that just happened. And then
they weren't impressed adults, by that?
They weren't impressed. It's like, oh yeah, we do that all the time. Like, no, you don't.
Oh, did they just like assume like that's how Bluetooth works or something? Or
yeah, and to be fair, that is kind of how Bluetooth works. Yeah, kind of.
But you don't see it like that all the time,
right? Right. Some of the grown-ups were especially astonished by it, and I think now that I think about it, I think the people who worked most closely with the fields of physics were the most astonished.
Oh.
I
would assume those are the people who know about that more.
Yeah, and it's one of those cases where the more you kind of know about something, the more ridiculous that is.
Yeah.
Or the more outrageous, unexpected that is, that it should work.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's part of my job. And then public outreach for education, advocating for education in science and math in particular, and preparing mm-hmm. science teachers, which should be really straightforward. It should just be knocking on doors and saying, hey, you want to support this? Let's do this thing. And people should just say yes. Actually, it's a lot of other things that are inefficient.
Mm-hmm. Can you write a lot of grants and...
Not enough stuff. Apparently, but yeah, you do have to do those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. So generally speaking, it is fun, but the fun things are not, what's fun about it is not 70% of what I do. It's the other 30%.
Yeah. I think that's what defines a career rather than a job.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your return on knocks on doors, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's nice to know you do get those interactions that do pay off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other day I was talking to someone who their card had expired So they had been a supporter, but like their card was no longer going through. So I just like went to see if I could add them back on with like their new card or a direct deposit kind of system. Mm-hmm. And their kid was super into it, like probably like a 2-year-old. And they were kept trying to grab like the tablet, and they didn't understand that they couldn't also sign up. I don't know where I was going with that, but like that gave me a little bit of hope for the next generation. If they're already wanting to sign up for nonprofit donations.
Yep. 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 There's some enthusiasm there from the youth.
Yeah.
That is worth holding on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, anything else we should talk about with career, work, day-to-day drudgery now that you're out there in the workforce paying for new tires?
Not that I can think of. Did you have any inklings or questions or desires or...
No, I think we can save those for another podcast. There are going to be so many questions, writing questions.
Yeah, from all like 5 of our listeners.
Yep, yep. I think there's more than that. They're out there.
Oh, like 7?
Yeah, just based on the statistics. I think there's a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can save that for another time.
Yeah, we do have 5-star rating, right? On.
Last I checked, 5-star rating on Spotify.
All like 3 reviews.
There's like 7.
Wow.
100% 5-star ratings.
Wow.
From 7 people.
Nice.
Okay, pushing that to the edge here. Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's fun to talk to you about coffee cribbage career and all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
And we'll have to catch up sooner than we did, in a more timely manner than we did over the last bit.
Yeah. We'll come up with some plan.
Yeah, maybe a 10 questions episode is next.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if our listeners have any burning questions or topic ideas or anything like that, they can send them to the email.
Yep. dearmouthsounds@gmail.com.
Yep. We get so many emails.
Yeah. If we don't like your ideas, we'll just ignore them.
Yeah.
Pretend like we don't get any emails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, Reed, good talking to you.
Good talking to you too, Dad.
Okay. Keep your feelings inside.
Thanks. You too.
I will. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.